Look, as always, I'm running late, so let's get straight to Dr. Sam Kovac. Hello, Sam. Thanks for your time, mate.
Hi, Brent. Greetings from Far North Queensland this time.
Oh, you're in Far North Queensland. Well,
I got a bit cold in Sydney.
Fair enough. Half your luck. I'd ask you about the weather, but we don't have time. So let me talk about... There was a story in the paper, and it took my interest. It said there's a rising number of pets that are being medicated for anxiety, and vets are noting a spike in dogs, cats, and rabbits, for goodness sake, that need treatment for nervous behaviour, including pills, Sam. Tell us more about this. If people have got pets, what's the first sign of anxiety that they would realise in their pets, be it a dog, a cat or a rabbit?
So obviously they can't tell you, like people can, that they're feeling anxious. So you have to look at what we call somatic symptoms or like body examples of anxiety. So sometimes drooling, trembling is a typical one. My dog trembles whenever she's anxious. Sometimes restlessness, not being able to settle in the afternoon, and changes their sleeping patterns. Sometimes they can even become nocturnal if they're really hyper-aroused.
So how is this... I mean, what role has COVID, the pandemic, played in anxiety for pets?
I think there's a number of factors with it, to tell you the truth. In the beginning, you were getting a lot of people who never had a dog or a cat before. They didn't know how to give them what they need, how to look after them. They were newbies to it. And we were locked in our houses. The pets couldn't go out socializing. Now we're forcing the pets to go out without any social skills to the park, forcing them to come to pubs, cafes with us when they have had no exposure when they were little puppy dogs and pussy cats. So, and also the working from home thing, right? I think a lot of these coronials that dogs and cats are adopted during the pandemic, they were used to the owners working from home, used to the routines. Now with a lot of employers forcing employees to come back to the office, separation anxiety naturally happens. So, yeah, there's a few parts to it.
So I suppose we've gone from, you know, the pet seeing mum and dad every day until the pet only seeing mum and dad for X amount of hours every day. And mum and dad are gone. The pet doesn't have anyone to talk to or play with. So the pet gets anxious, wondering where mum and dad are and when they're coming back. And an anxious pet, I suppose, also gets up to mischief, correct?
Yeah, chewing on TV cables. We've had a few near electrocutions even. That's a bit dramatic. House soiling, because I think these poor buggers think they're being punished for something. Like, have I been naughty? Why is my owner withholding attention from me? Dogs more so than cats.
Right.
I think the cats are doing better, Brent. They're happy that the owners are going back to work.
Well, I can give you so many examples because I've had dogs and I've got a cat at the moment, but my cat's a Burmese, and they say a Burmese is like a dog in cat's clothes because they're very dog-like.
Yeah.
But my Burmese, I'll leave the house and go to work at, you know, 10-ish in the morning, and I'll come back, and my wife will say to me, well, my cat's name is Sade. And my wife will say, Sade hasn't left a bed all day. I mean, Sade will turn up as I walk in the door when I come home from work, and Sade's been asleep all day, so she hasn't missed me.
No. And how does your wife take to that?
She's okay.
Your wife's company? She doesn't feel slighted by that?
No, she's okay. She's busy, and so the cat just goes to bed. Can I ask you, what's the general course of treatment for pets that have anxiety? Obviously, the first thing you've got to do is go and see your vet and have the anxiety diagnosed.
Yeah, so assuming it's not a medical problem, like my dog's anxiety actually was from an overactive thyroid that we had to treat. Lucky I didn't start pushing pills and antidepressants down her throat for that. But assuming it's anxiety, just like with people, it's got the same chemical basis to it. So anything to boost serotonin, boost dopamine, Prozac, sertraline, they're the typical ones. Sometimes they're not too effective, so vets will need to resort to some what we call off-label drugs, so drugs that aren't registered as antidepressants in pets. Clomipramine, Clomicalm are a couple of drugs in that category. A lot of owners are wanting to try natural things first because they're resistant to wanting to drug their dogs. But if you find a good vet who's happy to work with you and try things that aren't too sedating first, I think people really should have an open mind to treating anxiety in their pets.
One thing you should remember, which is in your notes, do not try to give your pet, if you're on that anxiety medication. Whatever you do, don't try and give your pet, you know, half of one of your tablets or something like that, because it just won't work. And in fact, it can kill the puppy dog or the pussycat or the rabbit.
Mm. And the worst offenders, the worst owners that are offenders in that regard are actually doctors, like human psychiatrists and GPs who think, oh, well, this dose works for people or a child. I'll just give that to my dog. And we often see cases of toxicity in doctors who were really trying to do the best thing or maybe save a bit of money by not going to the vet and writing a script for themselves or whatever and giving it to their pets. We've had a couple of cases like that. So, yeah, definitely don't share your antidepressants with your pets, for goodness sake.
Can taking medication for a long time for your pet's anxiety medication, can it have an adverse effect on the pets?
So long-term, any medication can, really.
Right.
Liver problems, kidney problems. It's important to make sure that you take your pet for a blood test every 6 months. That's what I generally recommend to make sure the liver can handle the drugs. But really, the danger is more of not medicating your pets. We've had pets who have been hit by cars because they're so scared during a storm, or they've broken out of their house when the owner's at work, they've been hit by cars. So, yeah, it's important to have a balanced approach, I think, like with anything.
Okay. I mentioned about reflux. I got a couple of emails from people saying that they had read a story that pets, cats and dogs, suffer from reflux like humans do. Sam, yeah. Is that correct?
Absolutely. In fact, I had a telehealth appointment this morning exactly about that. The owner, I was talking to the owner about his cat that was having reflux and regurgitation and burping, hiccuping. And I said to him, do you have any gastro signs yourself? And he said, yeah, actually, I'm recovering from a gastric ulcer. And it turns out very likely the cat has a parasite called Helicobacter, which a lot of humans with reflux have, and that's the cause of their reflux. So, yeah, people and pets share the same thing. Just like with anxiety, they can get reflux, they can get heartburn. Very unpleasant.
What are the signs if your dog or cat is suffering from reflux?
So most of the time, you won't even know, you won't even see that your pet has reflux because they're not vomiting. But lip smacking is a telltale sign, so licking their whiskers and their lips because a bit of stomach acid comes up to the back of the throat, and actually a chronic cough. So if they're coughing for no reason, the heart's good, the lungs are good, doesn't have bronchitis, sometimes that reflux, the acid, again, like with people, can come to the back of the throat, irritate the larynx and cause a nasty chronic cough. So coughing, lip smacking would be the top ones that I see.
And again, I suppose you've got to not self-diagnose here. You've got to go and see your vet and have it professionally diagnosed. How does a vet diagnose reflux in a dog or cat?
So you can do a treatment trial, and I think it's fine for owners to do that too with over-the-counter antacids. That's a safe one, unlike an antidepressant giving to your pet. But the best way academically to diagnose it and work out what we need to treat is with an endoscopy. So many vets nowadays, I can't speak for everyone, but many vets nowadays have access to endoscopy, so camera down the throat, into the stomach, have a look what's going on, take some pictures, take biopsies if necessary, if it's really bad. But I think, yeah, that should be definitely part of the workup for most animals.
Sadly, I'm running out of time. Just quickly, antacids for pets, where do you buy them from? Do you buy them from your vet, or what do? Buy them from the chemist?
Yeah, always the vet's the best place. I'm not giving myself a plug here, but we know the dose that each pet needs based on their weight. But really, Nexium, Esomeprazole, Losec, all the over-the-counter ones, people can Google doses for themselves. But as a general rule of thumb, it's 1 milligram per kilogram of body weight for all those over-the-counter ones. So if you've got a 20-kilo dog, a 20-milligram Nexium works. Gaviscon, good luck trying to give that to your pets, but those are also effective.
Enjoy your time in Queensland. Thank you, mate, as always. We'll talk again soon.